Count Floyd says it's spooky. It's GRD Sweekly.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed it is.
Ooh,
hi there.
Hey, at least I didn't do the Howling.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
The first one.
No, I mean the Howling Count Floyd does.
So welcome.
You said at least I didn't do it, and then you did it.
Yep. Okay, well, yeah.
Jerk ass.
Can't even have the least.
Jerk ass.
Yeah,
which is what Joe Flattery said in Happy Gilmore. Jerk ass. A lot. So there you go. It all comes full circle.
It does.
Hi, welcome to GRD's Weekly episode number. Quick, Bruce, drink
136.
Entry. There you go. I was trying to make you choke and die.
Yeah, no.
It was awesome.
He would be a ghost to come back and haunt us.
See what I was doing there? Yeah, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We're the ones that get together now and again, you know, and bring you this sometimes weekly show. We keep you up to date on Facebook and the fantastic forums, Twitter, and all those fun places. But who's keeping you updated with what? With all your geeky stuff. And, of course, there's the Flintstress.
Is that dirty enough for you?
Well, apparently in someone's geeky sweek it is. That there's the Bruce.
I'm pure evil.
And I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Did I mention that my nose is on fire? That I have 15 wild badgers living in my trousers?
Just don't make sure that... Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. You full have to tell us these things.
Oh, one got out.
Disclosure. 14. Oh, dear God almighty. So tonight's topic...
That's not a badger.
...is still kind of up in the air. Because there's still the chance that we're going to get the call back for the interview that we're going to do. Otherwise, we'll have to completely scrap it and do something different. So let's find out together,
yes.
Shall we?
If the phone rings in the middle of the show, we're good to go.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what you been doing, geeky? Yo.
Wow, lots of geeky stuff.
That was a dramatic pause.
Yeah. It was a dramatic pause. I'm going to start with TV, because I love TV, and that's what I love to do. I watch a lot of TV. We watched Castle.
Yes.
Except that we didn't watch it on TV.
Nope.
Because the satellite, it was raining in Richmond, I guess, on the day
we had 10
Castle
minutes of it on the satellite.
On.
Oh, really?
It was like part or all of this did not record, and it looked like it had 59 minutes. We were like, okay, we'll be all right.
10 minutes in, blip. Would you like to delete this or keep it?
Whoops.
Okay.
Alrighty then. So we went on ABC.com and watched it on the computer and hooked the computer up to the TV with the HDMI cable.
Which you actually have gotten fixed, because I walked in and saw the big TV was
hey,
back.
Hey, speaking of which, since I'm going to steal a moment from you now. Yeah, about a week and a half ago, I wake up 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's how my life is now, and walk into the living room, turn on the TV, and 3 minutes later I hear pop.
Oh, never good.
Yeah, so
if it's
my,
you or the TV, that's never good.
My big 60-inch
popcorn's
screen,
the only thing that's really allowed to pop.
TV,
in the,
the projector, the projecting housing light bulb thing popped.
Boom.
So
we're freaking out for a little while, thinking we're gonna have to, you know, buy a whole new TV, et cetera, et cetera.
Which is crazy to see how much prices of TVs have dropped.
Yeah, but it turns out that, you know, you price shop around on the internet, you could find just the replacement piece, and it was relatively easy to just swap it out, unscrew a couple
unscrew
of screws,
it,
put it in,
pop,
boom, done. Mm-hmm.
Which means I then redid the surround sound system. So
since you had it down, you might as well optimize the entire system, right?
There's a component cable going to the TV.
Okay.
There are 3 HDMI cables going to the TV, one from the satellite, one from the Xbox, and one just for what the hell ever you want.
Oh, just
for
in
when
case.
I hook up my laptop.
For when you hook up the laptop. From the TV to the surround sound receiver, there is one digital coax cable. There's my setup now. I've got 4 cables.
So you don't have to go back and switch like you did before. I remember seeing that back in the, you know, back what,
well,
2 years ago, something
I
like that?
I did originally, because someone tried to be helpful and did the most unhelpful thing ever.
All right.
Oh, bring it up the hurt.
A little bit before, Flynn got off on Sunday at noon, right? And so it takes about 30 minutes, 45 minutes for him to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're at about 12:30, 12:45, when the Redskins football game starts at 1 o'clock. We didn't want to watch.
Kickoff is at 1, so the game is going to start at 1:15, 1:20.
We didn't want to watch the football game. We had some friends over. We didn't want to watch the football game on our 30-inch TV. We wanted to watch it on the 60-inch TV.
Understandable.
So I go, okay, what's the least amount that I can do to make this work?
Call me and ask.
I didn't want to set up all those cables. Whether you could walk me through it or not, I didn't want to do it. I wanted a temporary solution.
She didn't want to plug up 2 cables to get not only high-def picture, but surround sound. Okay, keep going.
I went from the satellite to the TV with HDMI, passing sound through that. That's what I thought was going to work. And we got picture, and we got sound, and we got the football game, and we were happy.
We were not happy.
No, I wasn't, because not only did you do that, but you didn't reprogram the remote, so we have the rest of the evening kept having to do all kinds of interesting things to either pause, change channels, or adjust volume, And
put a Band-Aid on it. And shiny Hello Kitty Band-Aid.
What she's not telling you is the night before when everyone was there,
mm-hmm.
We tried three different times that we were just going to go ahead and fix it, and someone shot us down every time.
Okay, we were drinking. I didn't want anybody handling the TV while we were drinking.
Okay, all right, I'll go with that one, that the fact that you may have been drinking at the
time. We hadn't been drinking that much when we first started. In fact, we hadn't really started drinking when I said, so, who wants to help me move the TV then?
We had just gotten home.
I don't care.
I don't know. Anyway, the TV is fixed, and now the system is optimized. It works better than it ever has worked before with the remote control, and everything
go.
Is awesome.
So you watch Castle.
So we watch Castle.
Yeah.
Yay.
So the sound actually comes through the HDMI now like it's supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And this was the one where the fist of capitalism gets stolen, that art piece. And
yes,
the consultant
I remember that one.
Comes, and yeah, that was definitely a pretty interesting episode. It was fun.
It was fun.
One of the badgers just talked.
Yeah, badgers.
We have a snoring dog.
Oh, there you are, Perry.
Who wants to be on the show?
Go lay down, snoring dog.
Okay, so in addition to Castle, through the TV hookup, we also watched Terra Nova. Because mm-hmm. part of Terra Nova got preempted for baseball.
Baseball ran to like apparently 11 or 12 innings that night.
Yes, yeah.
So it had like 5 minutes at the end of Terra Nova, so we watched that.
Effing baseball.
Yeah, and... So we have one episode left on the DVR of Terra Nova. So the one that we watched was where they had, like, they forgot their memory, the virus, the memory virus.
Yeah, that
virus.
Was the second episode, I believe it
third
was.
Third episode. Something
like, yeah.
Or something
third,
like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's only like
third
four
episode.
Episodes.
I know, we're not that far into it. And,
neither
you know,
they.
Yeah, the show is okay. It's definitely, you know, fun, Nerf guns painted black and, you know, dinosaurs and...
They're not painted black.
They're not painted black.
They're not Nerf either.
Right. They
see
they're
a dinosaur and I want it painted black. Sorry.
Wow.
When the T-Rex eats the guy, that was pretty cool.
Yep. Found
like,
his boots.
Found
maybe
his
he
boots.
Lost his boots. Nope. Found the legs, too.
Nope. Found the feet. All right. Righty then.
So here's what I want to do. I want to take that show Lost. And I want to take that Jurassic Park thing, and I want to mesh them together. Because people were really
travel,
pissed
yeah.
off and Lost when it turned out not to be a flipping dinosaur, but it was a bunch of big black smoking cloud monster thing.
So let's give them what they really wanted and give them dinosaurs.
Yeah, because...
I'm good with this.
The Sixers
are the others.
Are the others?
Yeah.
And apparently in the fourth episode, which we haven't seen, they really, really, really become a low budget version of the others.
Okay, but they don't have a leader that's anywhere near as creepy as Ben. Linus.
No, no,
not that we know of.
No. See, it doesn't have any of that. It doesn't have the psychological aspect of Lost.
Well, because we don't really have villains other than the Sixers, who, as I just said, are watered down versions of the others.
Right.
You can't really call the dinosaurs villains because
they're just
as far
creatures.
As we know, they don't have advanced intellect and are hunting us down. I don't know.
They just want to eat.
This isn't a sci-fi show. This isn't a sci-fi channel show.
No.
But it almost is. Because you know what I think of when I'm watching this?
Sharktopus?
No. I'm thinking of...
Moonlighting.
I keep wanting to say Land of the Lost. You got to stop so I can stop trying to say that. The Lost World. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Lost World TV show they did. It's kind of like that. Except they don't have advanced technology. But it's kind
of
like that.
Well, they took they had the advanced technology the first part of that first episode. And then they went back to...
Reality,
mind you,
all that goes rabid.
It's futuristic because, you know, they don't have bullets. They have these, like, sound wave weapons and all this and that. And the energy and the vehicles are
it's
all
good,
energy, you know, propelled and
then
such like that.
Why the hell did the Sixers keep wanting ammo? You didn't bring us ammo? Why didn't you bring us ammo?
I don't know.
I don't either.
They also have some real guns, don't they, or no?
Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever. It was so.
I think
we're
they do.
The show
they do.
A chance, but it's definitely not. It's not intellectual in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing to really figure out.
Because every now and again,
out.
It does. Like the memory loss episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have a cold. You haven't sneezed in 20 minutes. Could you go ahead and sneeze so the amnesiac doctor wife of yours can figure out what the hell's going on? Oh,
no,
thank
just,
you.
It's like a dumbed down version of Lost meets Jurassic Park. There we go.
I think the thing is, since it's on Fox, they kind of have to try to get everybody. They don't want to lose people like they did with Lost at the beginning.
Lose those people. I don't care about those people.
Yeah, I know. So do I.
People.
I know.
Oh yeah, I'm with you
if
there.
I'm in the gonads.
Wow.
Because if those, you
I'm
know,
serious.
We've got to get to the guy who ran away, who's been scrolling
the
all
brother,
the computations.
The son.
Yeah, we've got to get to this stuff. Because I've got the feeling they're going to purposely try to drag this out. Because I don't know.
Okay, also in TV, we watched some of our favorite comedies that come on Thursday, Community. This is the one where the alternate timelines.
Community, they're all sitting around. They're at Troy and Abed's new apartment, which is apartment 303. And I'm going to go back to that in a second.
Okay.
So they're sitting around. They had ordered pizza. The pizza comes to the door. Someone's got to go downstairs and get it because they're in an apartment. So yeah. Jeff takes a die, and he's going to roll the die, and whatever it lands on, whatever number around the table, that's the person.
Okay.
And Abed goes, you realize by doing this, you're creating six different timelines. Of course I am, Abed. And then we proceed to see
all seven different timelines.
We see seven timelines in 30 minutes.
Wow.
And each timeline has the ultimate version of like the various storylines going on in the show.
Yeah.
Each one of these timelines takes one of those storylines pretty much to a conclusion that
each
we could
one of
get.
Them could have totally fit and been a next step in the episode. It could have just Yeah. And in one of them there's an evil universe Troy and Abed that we definitely have not seen the last of them.
No, that's entirely true.
He makes felt goatees
to get to everybody.
And they stick them on.
I see now what we must do. Well, I must become evil Abed, and he's got one for everybody, and only Troy goes along with it. But here's the deal with the alternate timelines, because this is really, really, really fun. First off, this episode was shown out of order, because this should have been the third episode, because this is season three of Community.
Ah.
303 would have been perfect. Also, in last week's episode, Pierce makes reference to how Troy and Abed are the only people he's ever told he's had sex with Eartha Kitt in the bathroom, which he doesn't mention until this episode we just saw.
Oh.
Ah, crap.
Yeah.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
And Shirley said something about Britta in last week's episode and marijuana, which she didn't know for certain until this week's episode.
Right. Mm.
Right. Now, at the very end of the episode, you know, you've got the Troy Abed, evil Troy and Abed thing, and it cuts back to our reality, and Abed's like, and Troy's like, what's up? And he's like, oh, nothing, I guess. So he sensed something. So of course we haven't seen the last of them, especially since the show has already given us a justification for alternate timelines, thanks to the very first episode of this season, the UN, when we established that the rules would work. And the alternate timelines could be a possibility.
Love this show.
This is the greatest damn show.
This is a TV show for people who love TV. Because it happens to take place at a community college, but this is for TV heads.
I've got to start picking this show up. You do. Because every single week, they take some generic whatever thought, and they just run with it. Because this was better than the paintball episodes. This was better than the zombie episodes. Every week they do something just completely ridiculous. No one else is brave enough to do the kind of crap they do on Community.
And I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but there's a preview floating around for the upcoming Halloween episode that's supposed to be awesome.
Don't even want to know. I just want to watch it.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
Just want to watch it.
After that, we watched Parks and Recs. And this was like, there's like the boys club that was Boy Scouts, and they wouldn't let the girls join. So Leslie Knope forms her own club of Girl Scouts, and she makes it this competition to like win the best club. So she does like every cliche thing that every kid would ever want. Like they get puppies delivered and have like a puppy party.
They have a puppy party.
And all the boys are like, what? We want to play with puppies? And
they've got candy.
They got candy, and they got all kinds
inside
of fun stuff to do.
No, inside the house.
Not Ron's, the pinata party.
Ooh. You know, she's got this little activity checklist, book, whatever thing.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson has his checklist of what you're going to do over the weekend, and it's got one thing listed on it, and it says, be a man. So
it was definitely
step
a
it up, boy.
And on The Office, we had our garden party.
We did.
So, special guest star Josh Groban on The Office.
Huh.
The Office is still actually pretty funny, I have to say. I'm liking the dynamic.
It started off the season a little wonky, but I think they're kind of on some footing now with how they're going to have, you know, for Andy being the boss.
So and nobody does an awkward moment where you just feel so bad for them, but at the same time you also don't, you know, and then it reaches out and touches your heart.
Also, special guest star Stephen Collins, that's right, one-time commander of the Starship Enterprise, and of course, famed pilot in Tales of the Gold Monkey. Thank you.
Okay, then.
Well, okay, he was on Seventh Heaven, but
yeah,
screw
exactly.
that show.
There you go. There you go.
That's who I thought we were talking about. The Big Bang Theory. Howard is one step closer to fulfilling a lifelong dream.
Yes. His mother lets him go.
I think that, you know, Howard has the potential to maybe go into space. I think that could be the defy mom, F you moment.
Because I don't care what anybody anywhere says.
Oh,
if I had a chance to go into space and someone wanted to tell me no, I'm sorry.
Pimp slap away.
Hell no. I know. I would be like, go. Let me come in your suitcase. I want to go too.
Suitcase.
Now,
the
if
check baggage.
Bernadette really didn't want him to go, the card she should have played, threesome.
Oh.
If you stay.
Yeah. If you stay, I'll give
sorry.
You.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You still pick space. I'm sorry. You pick space.
Yeah.
Depends on who the third person is.
If it's Katie Sackhoff, guess what?
space.
I'm going to think twice.
Okay, seriously. I love you. You love me. Katie Sackhoff is hot. A threesome would last like a couple of minutes.
Not well, 10,
no,
15,
no,
20.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no,
no, no, no.
Maybe the way you like to do things, Miss, I don't believe in delayed gratification, but no, 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 no.
Ooh.
No, no.
You just put me out there on the podcast.
I'm sorry. Did you or did you not say that you like things now? That you don't like to wait, that you don't have patience. Is this surprising to anybody?
I think we have a new topic for the show.
Is that surprising?
Okay. Yes, so it'll be interesting to see how it gets to be an astronaut.
Would you like to bribe me with Katie Sackhoff to see if I'll do some post? Alrighty then, move
nope.
on.
Screw post, I don't do post.
Also on TV, watch The Daily Show, which is always just hilariously funny. It's just, that's the only take I care to hear about anything with politics, because it's not just one-sided. I mean, he makes fun of the Occupy Wall Street people,
oh,
but
yeah.
at the same time, I mean, you know, it's just, I love that show. We also watched South Park. It's back on. New episodes
oh,
of South Park. Did you see?
No.
You don't watch South Park?
I do, but I didn't see these.
Didn't see these ones. All right. So the first one is Cartman has Asperger's.
Yes.
And, okay.
Really? Oh, my God. You just seem to tell me there's a disease called Asperger's?
Sorry. My voice is all screwed up.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty decent.
I never, and I feel dumb and stupid, and I can't believe that.
This is awesome.
I never thought about it. Asperger's.
She never put Asperger's together as Asperger's.
Well, because when you say it, generally it's Asperger's.
Ash?
No,
it's not.
It sounds exactly like Asperger's. And I was like, wow.
Because you blend them in so quickly together.
Still.
Yeah.
Still.
Asperger.
And just everybody eating the hamburgers and alrighty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad, you know, I mean, the way that they got Stan kind of back to sort of himself-ish was a roundabout kind of way, and you sort of, you know, it's like,
it's still
all right, kid,
sad.
That's what happens. Yeah, but it was sad.
It's life. Deal with it.
Take a swig of alcohol, you know, on your way out of your room. So, but, you know, I think he's going to be okay. He just had some stuff to deal with. And then a wonderful episode. I think his favorite is the last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Have you seen this one?
Butters becomes a Mexican folk hero.
No.
Yes. Oh.
They're playing border guard.
So they erect this whole border, you know, wall in Cartman's backyard, and they're playing border guards and Mexicans.
Oh, so whoever can sneak back in when they realize,
and then they get across, and because they're kids, they go base. Yep. Like when they made it across.
So Texas is base all of a sudden.
They realize that Butters was still outside, so the game is not over.
Uh-huh.
But as it turns out, Butters, who's still dressed with dirt on his face and a poncho.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
wow, starts brown face.
Everywhere he goes, he's talking about trying to get home to Mexico. And he inspires Mexicans to be like, you know what? Yeah, screw this country. Why am I here washing dishes? We're going back.
So, but then the border guard, all they know is we need to stop Mexicans from crossing the borders. So the Mexicans start coming and they're like, back to work.
Get back to work.
We forgot which way the Mexico was.
It didn't matter.
All they told us is that no one can cross this wall. So it don't matter which way they're coming from.
We can't cross the wall.
And so happy when Butters, who made it to Mexico, mm-hmm. is coming back. Oh my God, look. They're coming back now. So yeah, America's great. It's mm-hmm. awesome. It's fantastic.
It was a really funny episode. Okay. And then we also watched, they did a little special, The Making of South Park.
6 days to air.
Yes.
The Making of South Park.
Mm-hmm. And they're talking about, you know, how different it is, how they do it now, how they used to make the show, mm-hmm. like back in the day. I think a lot of people know the origins. If you haven't seen The Spirit of Christmas, you have to go like Google it right now. That's, you know, the original animation and everything from South
when
Park.
When Stan was Cartman and Cartman was Kenny.
Yes.
Right.
And yeah. Kenny still died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've killed Kenny. You yeah. bastards! But, I mean, we've been fans of Matt and Trey for like a really, really long
time. Oh, yeah,
time.
Since the beginning.
Cannibal, the musical, and everything. And
I
just
bought
to see them.
A VHS tape off of eBay where someone had The Spirit of Christmas and all the up to like season one, all of season one, like the first couple of episodes of season two.
Yeah.
All the specials, like when they were on The Tonight Show, all of that stuff on one nice VHS tape back in the day.
Wow.
Back when you could buy pirated stuff like that off of
whatever, you know.
Yeah, and there's still plenty of people who do not get South Park and just think that it's just offensive and wrong and rude, and it is, but it is equal opportunity offensive. No
oh, yeah.
one is mm-hmm. safe. Nope. Every single person gets it equally, and they all deserve it.
One day they're going to do a show about how stupid podcasting is. It's just going to happen.
It's going to happen.
They're going to get.
But the Simpsons have done it first.
Simpsons did it.
You're welcome.
Kitty, that's my puppet. Simpsons did it.
No, Kitty. Let's see what else is on my list. I love South Park. We've seen every single episode ever.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the greatest thing ever. We also watched a bunch of football. Watched the Redskins lose, but Rex Grossman is not playing next week. We'll see. He's not starting. So.
Dude, if they'd put that guy in at halftime instead of the third quarter, we might have won that son of a bitch.
Hey, you know, if you throw four interceptions in a game, usually you get the bench.
I could throw four interceptions in a game.
Well,
damn.
Yeah, that's not the point, though. That's not the goal. Yes, if you actually try to go out there and throw four interceptions.
And what's funny, you know, this guy comes in and you can see he can throw the ball.
Yes.
He can throw the ball down the field.
Yes, he was good in preseason.
Rex Grossman can't throw the ball down the field. So
I don't know. We'll see.
Sorry, Rex. I was willing to give you a slide for quite a long time because they never let you develop, but you've had plenty of times now, and four interceptions, I can't forgive.
No.
That,
yeah. I mean, throw the ball away if you really have to. Just don't throw it to the other team. That's like rule number one. Quarterback, rule number one. Don't throw it to the other team.
And if you hadn't have thrown that fourth one, you could have tied Tom Brady as the most interceptions this past weekend.
Wow.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
But they still won, so. I mean,
yeah, but they did exactly what you wanted. It was Patriots versus Cowboys. Cowboys lost, but both teams kind of played like crap.
That's what we wanted.
We wanted them
to both play like crap, but we wanted the Cowboys
to actually really wanted the Patriots to win, but only from field goals and no touchdowns whatsoever.
Yeah, that wasn't
running
happen,
touchdowns. Running.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Or maybe if it had
ended. They got one, right? Just one?
I don't even know.
Maybe if it had ended in an infinite tie where no one could ever score.
Ooh, that would be weird.
Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened.
No, probably not.
No. Probably never, ever. I had roller derby over the weekend. We actually had a bout, a home bout. Nightmare on 3rd Street is what we call it, and it was really fun. We played a team from Boston, and the B team played a team from D.C., and it was really fun. And what is he? Techno Guru, and Shrilla from the forums came down, and my mom came and surprised me, and that was really nice. And,
oh, wow.
Like, I've been playing sports for a long time, and they've always, like, loved, my mom and dad have always loved to come see me play sports, but I don't think they really,
my children.
Get roller derby, you know, like,
it's a little different, yeah.
And so, no, but it was just really fun, and felt really supported, and a couple of my friends from work came, and it was just really, really good.
Wonderful.
And we won the game, and I got a couple really big hits on people, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I've decided that I make the craziest faces. Like, I see in every single picture, I'm either going, oh, no, you didn't, or I am going to kill you. I mean, I just make these, like, ridiculous, intense faces. I'm going to put some pictures up. It is just crazy.
And it only took her 10 seconds to get sent to the penalty box.
I did. The very first time I made contact with somebody, boom, the box.
Box.
There you go.
But that
Good
was
job.
The only time I went to the box all game. Yeah.
Okay, then you're not trying hard enough. You needed to be the enforcer.
She did quite a bit of hitting, but just legal hitting.
After that, okay, now I'm going to legally hit people from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, it was a momentous occasion. My mom has finally had to upgrade to Windows 7. My mom is not your typical, you know, 60-year-old mom who doesn't know how to do anything on a computer. She can't really handle her phone. It's kind of complicated.
Nope. Okay.
But she works for Hewlett-Packard.
Small buttons and stuff.
She's a district manager. When she talks on the phone, it's more technical jargon than I could possibly comprehend. But she called me for tech support today for her computer.
Aww.
And how to figure out something on Windows 7. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you just right-click and you're da-da-da-da-da and telling her how to do everything. And so it was just kind of funny. And then from now on, I told her, go ahead and Google it. And then if you can't find it after you Google it, then call
me.
Yeah.
Snap.
Look it up, woman.
Speaking of the computers.
Do your homework, Mom.
One of the students at school managed to put porn on the student server.
Good job.
Yeah, and so I had to get involved with the investigation because we were trying to track down if we
could
see exactly when they did it and
terminal.
Who was it that, you know, the students all have their own computers.
Yeah.
But dummy, I went to delete it, so I right click on it to delete it, and then it's like, are you really sure you want to delete it? And I'm like, yes. And it says, nope, you can't do it. You don't have the right permissions. You have to be https-da-da-da-da-da and said the name of the student. And it was like, all right, busted. And the stupid kid is like, I didn't do it. I just left my computer sitting there and some other kid did it. And I was like,
no.
So really, he brought over his thumb drive with porn, put it into your computer. Okay.
Wow, he's a ninja, a porn-loading ninja. So, I mean, the kid is in big trouble, and probably the kid who is accused of doing it will probably also get in trouble too. It was just crazy. But it was in a spot on the server where they weren't supposed to be able to load stuff. And so not only was the video up there, but then a bunch of other kids like commented on it. One dummy who I think is actually going to get suspended too wrote, put up a longer video next time.
Oh yeah, suspend that kid. Sure.
Morons.
So I had to.
Hey, sometimes you guys suspend them for being stupid.
Look, think about it. For a bunch of these kids, that was the greatest day of school ever.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was.
I had to take a couple of screenshots and send them to the principal because I was the only one that knew how to do that on the computer.
Were you going to get suspended for sending porn through the email?
Okay. Because I saved the file name was for principal by admin request, and that was the name of the
very
file.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I had to watch like 30 seconds of porn at work.
Aww.
As part of my job.
Bummer.
That's kind of, it wasn't great porn. I mean, you know, it was just kind of, it is what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the crazy thing, that the geeky thing that happened to me, and we couldn't even delete it. That was the thing, because you had to be the kid, so it wasn't even deleted at all.
Anyway. Oh, fantastic.
Still up there. No, I'm just kidding. Someone eventually was able to take it down from, like, Central Office had to take it down. So cool. That has been my geekiest week.
All right. First things first. I'm surprised.
I bet you're thirst.
I'm surprised you didn't get to this one. Walking Dead's back.
Yep.
I saved that one for you.
Thank you. The Walking Dead
is last back. Script that Frank Darabont actually worked on.
Yeah, hour and a half show.
Yep.
Very well done.
Yep.
Just they bring
so
it
good.
They bring it back to just, it's a character driven show that happens to be set during the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and
it,
you
it
know Shrilla, you know, she was like, I don't like zombies. Everyone like, it's Battlestar Galactica but zombies instead of Cylons. What's the problem?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's
I don't like dinosaurs either. Why don't you go to hell? What, yeah. Who doesn't like dinosaurs?
Really? Dinosaur zombies being really cool.
Yeah, but just the dynamic between the people and all the different things that are going on. I mean, yeah. That's what makes the show really interesting. There just happen to be zombies and, you know.
It gives them a reason to all be in one central location.
Right.
Which they're not now. At the end of
they're
all. They're kind of,
you know, good for her for telling off Dale. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you.
Hey. No, I don't
understand
need a dad.
Where you're coming from, that you're just looking out for me, but I'm in this. I can make my own choices. Thank you very much.
Dale, I noticed you didn't try to save the black lady.
Hey, she had five words the entire show.
And?
Okay. She wasn't that important of a character, apparently.
Okay,
ouch.
So if she had been able to fire a crossbow like Racist Man, then it would have been fine.
Yeah,
we would have saved her.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we needed him. He has skills.
It's true.
He has skills.
It's true.
And I'm sure we're going to meet his brother again. Soon-ish, maybe.
See,
Who knows?
They left that open, that dangling for, I'm sure, a good reason. And
Dangling.
Now, the way this episode ends, having read the comics, I can't wait for next week. Oh,
you know,
God,
I can't wait for next week.
Yeah. I know what should happen.
The CDC shouldn't have happened, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know what's actually going to happen.
That entire episode, I just remember sitting there going, what is this? Why are we at the hatch? Where's Desmond?
The big light coming through.
But this show does have more of the psychological aspects of that Terra Nova is missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could, yeah.
All right. American Horror Show. Horror Story, excuse me.
Yeah.
That is really a creepy, creepy show.
Creepy, messed up.
Uh-huh.
Goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah. If my family was starring in the show, this would be a commercial. Because we'd walk in there, a really long commercial, but we would walk in going, oh, hell no. Bye.
Like Eddie Murphy used to say, why don't white people leave? In the Amityville Horror, the house told them
to
go
get out.
It said, get out. That's familiar.
Bye, everybody.
Yep.
Blood come bubbling up out of the toilet.
I got to go.
And baby, this is a beautiful house. Look at this big backyard for the kids and everything and all the big spaces, bedrooms.
Get out.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Pulling off wallpaper and you're seeing demonic pictures. It's time to go.
Poltergeist, they brought more white people to the house.
Back when Eddie Murphy was funny.
The girl wasn't but 4 years old. They couldn't have been that attached to her. Damn, I miss you, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Month of funny one.
But he could be good in, what is that? The Tower Heist.
Tower Heist.
Mm-hmm. Which is no longer going to be available for $50 six weeks later for at-home viewing.
Oh, okay. So it might actually be a decent movie.
Well, no, I mean, this is what Hollywood, their next thing they wanted to do. They were going to test pilot it with the Tower Heist.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, like, 6 weeks after it was in theaters, you could pay $50 and watch it in your home. And if this worked, they were going to start doing that for pretty much every film.
Yeah.
And theaters went... No. Because how are people going to buy our $12 popcorn if they're at home?
Exactly. Speaking of
$12 popcorn.
Speaking of $12 popcorn. Speaking of movies, I saw X-Men First Class again. Got it at home. Got it on Netflix. Great. Definitely the best X-Men film.
I got to say, yeah.
And probably one of the best Marvel movies. It's in the top three.
If
easily.
Captain America hadn't come out this summer... That'd be all we would still be talking about. Because Captain America was actually a bigger achievement for everything they did than First Class. But my God, First Class was good.
First Class was great. I mean,
except for January Jones.
She wasn't that bad. I really
wasn't
upon
that
second
good.
Viewing.
I watched her a little bit in Mad Men, and I'm not surprised. It's kind of surprising they picked her for the Emma Frost character, but that's what they wanted her to be.
They picked her boobs.
No, the other actresses have boobs.
No, I understand that, but
yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah. Other actresses do have and blonde hair, and they could probably have played her a little bit better, but still, that's what they were wanting for that character.
Sure, pretty sure they could have played her better. Yeah,
probably.
Sure. Pretty sure they could have emoted in some way, shape, or form.
Somewhere. Let's see. You started listening to The Starter by Scott Sigler, our friend.
Nice.
I usually don't wait till a podcast is done and completed with its production being put out, but
which is why you haven't listened to any of our shows.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting till we hit episode 200, and then I'll start listening to all of them.
Now everyone's going to be like, "Oh my god, there's thanks, Bruce. Way to start a internet rumor. Way
what?
To go
that we're stopping at 200.
Way to go, Bruce.
Yeah, they'll forget it by the next 64 episodes.
I forgot it already.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what's going on?
Do you have a cold?
I didn't, but we'll get there.
Okay. Good story. I've listened to two episodes so far.
Okay.
It picks it up right where the last one ended off.
Nice.
You kind of get a little foreshadowing what's going to happen with this, but we'll leave it there. I did a little bit of cosplaying over the weekend. I went to Fallout. I got dressed up in my Jane Cobb outfit.
Nice.
And my wife put on her Firefly gear.
Jane Cobb outfit.
No, she didn't have the hat. And we went as the cast of the crew of the Serenity for Duos and Gangs night.
Nice.
So basically a group of people that come in together and dress together. And it was a good night. We entered the costume contest. We got second place over two guys in those skin suits that everybody's wearing.
Zentai suits.
Yeah, the Zentai.
God.
One was black, one was blue. They wins black and blue.
And they won?
And they won. Yeah.
Folks, stop wearing these things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stop wearing them.
Or at least, like, use them for something interesting. Like, I've seen a Deadpool one, and I've seen, like, a Captain America one.
Yeah.
That
it
are,
needs
like,
to be,
neat.
You know, as part
not
of something else.
Not just a solid color. That's not
unless
creative.
You're going as the Greendale mascot.
The Greendale
mascot,
human being. Right. Not-
We won't offend any... Okay.
The costume to be added later.
Nice.
Let's see. What else did I do this weekend?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Did you juggle?
Nope. Didn't do that. That's pretty much been my geeky sweep. Go ahead.
All righty. Let's start at some comic books. Continuing my DC issue ones. I still have a hell of a lot to go. But Men of War, number one, which is basically going to be your World War II Sergeant Rock comic.
Okay.
They're setting that up. OMAC, number one, which I did not care for at all. One Man Army Corps, no. Frankenstein, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., number one. Just strange.
Hey, what?
Frankenstein's monster works for the government somehow, and I would like to read more just because it's such a crazy concept. I don't know that it's any good, but it's a crazy concept.
It's a good concept.
Green Lantern, number one. You know, Sinestro has the ring back. Hal doesn't have the ring. Sinestro is right now the...
Green Lantern of this sector?
Not of this sector, which is odd. He still has his own sector, but he's kind of watching out for Earth and stuff as well.
So he's not evil anymore, or he never became evil?
I don't believe he's evil anymore currently.
Okay.
This is the current iteration of all of this. So it was okay. We'll see. Grifter, number one, which I've already forgotten about. Legion Lost, number one, which has some members of the Legion on an island. Mr. Terrific, number one. That was okay. Red Lanterns, number one, I found kind of interesting. These are, you know, from the... are many different multicolored rainbow lanterns. The red ones were the very, very angry ones. Grr. Resurrection Man, number one, took a B-list character and actually did something interesting with him, so I'll check some more of that out. Suicide Squad, number one. Suicide Squad's always been an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a bunch of supervillains, let's go put them in missions where they could die for the chance to win their freedom so they can go battle the Flash again. Why not? It had a nice little twist at the end.
Twist.
Yes, good twist. Superboy 1, it was okay. It was all right.
Which iteration of the Superboy is this one? Is it the clone? Is it...
This is a clone.
Okay.
But it's a new clone. It's not Connor Kent or anything else. Mm-hmm. This is a new clone of... Okay, I've already lost track.
Is it a copy of the copy or a clone of the original?
I don't even know at this point.
Who cares, right? Wait, Glenn, they tell us.
Don't know. So let's see. So Gamefly sent me the Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension game, which was number 11 on my list, even though the number one game on my list had a high availability. It was fun. It's based on the movie, obviously. You get to control Phineas and Ferb. It's a two-player simultaneous, or just the one. You get to unlock other characters, so I got to play as Perry for a while, which was awesome. It's got a sense of humor, kind of like the show. It's a little repetitive, but for the target audience of kids, for kids, this is a spectacular game. I had quite a bit of fun with it myself, and if it wasn't for the fact that Batman was coming out, I'd still have it because I knew I wasn't going to play it once Batman came out.
Oh, hell no.
So
Batman, you say?
Yes. So I was playing the Twin Peaks game. What? Yes.
What?
Somebody made a Twin Peaks Atari 2600 game.
Really?
Set in the Black Lodge.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's weird and it's creepy, but yeah, that would be what it would look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine. Batman Arkham City is out.
I will get this sooner or later.
And which the Best Buy that I reserved it at so I could get Robin did not open at midnight. Because I learned every Best Buy store has to have a minimum number of pre-orders to get a midnight opening. They missed by 12.
Rat bastards.
So I didn't get to play it at midnight.
You had to wait till?
The next day.
Oh, okay.
After I took the dog to the vet.
Oh.
And then came back home.
Thank you.
And then drove back to Mechanicsville to get it. And then drove back home to play it.
Okay.
And then slept after playing it for 40 minutes. Oh my God, is it awesome.
It is really freaking awesome.
I know it's going to be awesome.
So first and foremost, buy it new or buy it used from GameStop, and here's why. Catwoman is a downloadable character.
Uh-huh.
And in the box, there is a one-time use code for you to be able to download Catwoman. If you buy it used, you're going to have to pay like 10 bucks or something. Unless you buy it at GameStop, GameStop still has codes for Catwoman to give you if you buy a used copy. How? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But they do.
Hmm.
So there's that. You want the Catwoman part of this because Catwoman's story is not just like Robin's, just the challenge maps. She actually has a storyline.
Oh.
And if you download her, it integrates her stuff with the regular Arkham City game. So as you're playing along, there'll be a moment, for instance, where Batman gets knocked out by the Joker, and then you cut and you play a Catwoman section.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't have Catwoman...
You can't.
Batman just wakes up. You know, we miss that part. The game has a different opening if you have Catwoman.
Oh, wow.
So if you have Catwoman, you actually play as two characters before you ever play as Batman.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
It is interesting. It is fascinating. It's weird web-swinging, because that's the only way I can call it. Because
it pretty much is.
The Gatling gun.
The Gatling gun?
Grappling gun.
Grappling gun.
Grappling gun. And he falls.
Which you can
Batman doesn't use a gun.
Which you can upgrade, so as you're like being pulled up, you can hit the A button twice, which will put a speed boost, which will sort of launch you.
Yes.
So then you can look for another place to shoot the grappling gun. So you can basically web swing.
Okay.
Which is a little weird.
But...
A little weird.
Well, you know.
It doesn't matter.
You can also glide. You can also do a lot of other different maneuverability. But that's your quickest way to get from point A to point B without, you know, going on the streets.
So everything that was really cool in Arkham Asylum is just the fighting. They've streamlined that even more. They've made that even more impressive.
Wow.
So,
like, because it was impressive before.
Well, for instance, now when you counter, if two people are going to hit you at the same time, you can do a double counter. So you can actually attack two people simultaneously when they go to attack you.
Wow.
Which...
Okay.
Is really cool. And if there's two guys talking and you sneak up on them, you get to do the double takedown where you grab them by the head and fuck.
Bam. A meeting of the minds.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know exactly where it's going, which is awesome.
That's good.
Which is really awesome because Hugo Strange apparently is the big bad in the game, even though the Joker's running around very... I'm not... Yeah.
Penguin is there.
Penguin. Oh, dude, everybody.
Two-Face.
Apparently there is one additional character that no one knows about yet.
You just know that there is somebody?
Yeah, they've been told. Okay. There's one additional character that nobody knows of yet.
Calendar Man is in the game. He's in a cell.
Okay.
And when you see him...
At least he starts out in a cell.
He keeps telling you... he keeps talking about Halloween. He's like, you know, see me on Halloween, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
If you see him as Catwoman, something totally different happens. Totally different happens.
Oh, I'm sure.
But here's the fun thing that we've all learned. If you go see Calendar Man on Halloween, something's going to happen. And then after that, he's going to tell you about another holiday that he wants you to come back and see. You're going to have to play this game for a year, and there's going to be 12 different holidays to go see him on to unlock an achievement.
Oh, son of a...
Right.
So if you don't do that, you won't be able to get every single achievement.
Right. Unless you take it offline and change your system clock, but then I don't know what will happen if you plug it back in, if it'll be like,
whoa.
Hey, I know what you did. You're a jerk. But that's kind of cool. Because back in the day on the Dreamcast... When you had the Sonic game and the little town mini hub thing where you would go places, they used to have things you could download for Halloween. It was all Halloween tricked out for Christmas. It was all decorated for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's kind of cool. I like silly little stuff like that. So yeah, it's awesome.
The little Riddler challenges are kind of annoying. Like it's like there's something we haven't figured out. We got one of them to work, and then the rest
of them... I've gotten quite a few to work.
You've gotten more of them to work. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've been playing it longer than I've been helping you watch to play or whatever.
Helping me watch to play, yes.
See, because I could probably like sort of kind of play, but I prefer to backseat play.
Yeah. Watch the story unfold.
Yeah.
Watch the story unfold and be like, no, go over there.
There's tons of stuff to do.
You know, I'm another set of eyes, so I can help. I can be like, look out.
I've got to get this game, and I've got to seriously... get my wife to get it for me quickly.
Since it's, you know, a walled off, it's basically no man's land, the Batman storyline they did where they walled off, you know, part of Gotham and just everyone's there.
Yeah.
So it's that. And since it is, there's side missions you can choose to do.
Escape from Gotham.
Well, people you can save. There's, you know, there's lots of political prisoners are in here. What? Why are you here? There's a ton of shit going down in this game, and it's just, I don't know, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Catwoman's costume. When you play in the challenge maps, she has the costume that she has in the game. She has the classic gray skin tight costume.
Okay.
And the purple skin tight costume.
Okay. All right.
Robin has his really cool one with the hood and, you know, and the cape.
Yeah.
He's got the one that kind of looks like from the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the other costume, which is the Red Robin.
Red Robin. Yes. Red Robin. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tim Drake stopped being Robin and moved to like Bloodhaven or something.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I know.
Became Red Robin, which was a dumb name before I realized there was a hamburger place called the same goddamn thing. The same goddamn thing. All right. Let's see. Where am I? Oh, checking something off my list of shame. I finally finished reading World War Z.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, no.
There's no way that there's no way that works as a movie.
I know.
There's just no flipping way.
I know.
Even if you recut this to tell these stories as they're happening, there's no way. There's too much going on in this. There's no
They'll cut out one or two stories.
One or two?
Yeah.
They're going to cut out there's no way.
I mean,
you can't fit all this in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And only Transformers gets like almost 4 hours anymore, so.
Which Jason Statham will not be in.
Good. And Michael Bay will not be associated with either. So there you go.
Yay!
Yeah, there you go.
Explosions!
I should mention very quickly that I sound all messed up because one day last week it felt like I was getting a cold. The next day it felt like I'm getting over a cold. I still feel like I'm getting over a cold that I never had. So that's weird.
Oh, okay.
Very weird. I watched Red State, which is now available on Netflix.
Not
streaming.
Red Steel.
No, did not watch
Red Steel. Seven Robots.
So, Kevin...
That's Real Steel. But go ahead. Real Steel.
What's Red Steel?
I don't know.
Oh,
that's
either.
The video game with the sword.
Yes. Thank you. It is. That's Red State. Yeah, good call. Red State, this is the Kevin Smith movie, which is so much different than anything he's ever done.
Okay.
If you didn't know anything about this at all and watched it, there's no way in the world you would go, oh, this is a Kevin Smith film. No way. So there's a small town, and apparently there's some church, not too unlike the Westboro Baptist Church, who likes to protest funerals and stuff like this, and crazy religious, overly religious, I should say, because crazy doesn't automatically equal religious, although. So these three kids in town, they're looking at porn on a website. And, you know, it's one of these where there's, hey, local girls in your area who are hot and horny, la la la.
Yeah.
And they find one not too far from them. So the three of them decide to go out there and they're going to,
you're going to tap it out, yeah.
Except, of course, she drugs them because she's a member of their church looking for sinners.
Oh, no.
And the ATF gets involved. And
okay.
Netflix says this is a horror movie. This is not a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix even says that there's a supernatural power. There is not. And when I read Netflix's description, I'm like, that's not what this movie's about. I know that's not what this movie's about, and I watched it, and I was right. John Goodman's in this movie. Stephen Root's in this movie. Kevin J. Pollack is in it for a little bit. So yeah, it's the obviously these crazy weird 5-point church folks are insane.
Yeah,
batshit insane. But they're not the Westboro Baptist Church, as the movie quite plainly references when they say no. You're thinking of Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church. So these folks are worse than them because they're stockpiling guns and they're getting
ready.
For the revolution. But the government is also the bad guys. Cops are the bad guys. Lots of people have made the bad guys for this story.
It sounds like the church from True Blood, except without vampires.
You know, it kind of was. It kind of was. It kind of really was. So congratulations to you, Kevin Smith. You've done an adult movie of sorts.
Not that kind of adult.
Not you know, Zach and Mary or anything. But you've done something completely different than anything else you've done before. It's got some flaws. It's not perfect, but it was a damn fine time, and I do recommend that people check it out, because I think you should. Oh, my math class is over and done with. Yes, I said that. I'm in a computer class now. Mm-hmm. 1 week of that is over and done with. And, yeah, I'm going to say that that's pretty much going to be about it right there. So, yeah, that was my geeky week as well.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement bed. I mean, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
Okay. So we've had someone decided that we're the worst people ever and decided they wanted to smack us with the virus.
Yeah.
Why, people? Why?
And the patron saint of this fine program, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, sweated over this for days. For days.
Yeah.
I got the clean bill of health approval from him today, as well as getting an email from Google that they are now, since they don't detect any initial bad misgivings with our site,
yeah,
that they're now going to do the further investigation so they can make sure they can recommend it to people. Because if you have Chrome and Firefox and pretty much everything but Internet Explorer, it was telling you, hey, this is a bad site. Bad stuff's going on.
Yeah.
Someone managed to put a virus in our tracking feed. I don't know how you could do that without actually being able to log into WordPress and stuff. And there's very few people that have access to that. And the one rogue element in that isn't smart enough to know how to do it.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Or more than malicious to do it.
Exactly.
No.
So it should be totally clean. And if not, please let us know. I was given the tip to clear your cache, because if you have the old version cached, it's still going to say that even if it's fixed. So clear your cache and come on by the site. That's going to be a damn fine time. That way you can start planning with us to go to the pub crawl.
Yay!
Pub crawl!
Which is when?
November 5th.
5th.
Which is a?
Saturday. And it's coming up soon.
It's
we're going to start
pub crawl.
At 8 o'clock at Chennai in Richmond, Virginia. And if you look at the event page on Facebook, there's some details about hotels in the area. And some people have already said that they are coming. And it's going to be
some people are bringing friends.
Friends?
Yeah.
Oh, friends.
State friends. Ooh.
Wow. It's going to be great.
So we're going to have.
So you should be there.
Foreigners.
Not quite. Foreigners not going to be there either.
The Virginia definition of.
Oh, foreigners. Okay. So anybody from
not
from the South.
Yeah. So there is that. Now, are we going to get all kinds of crazy and start putting messages in the sky that you can see with your phone at all the places? I don't know about all that.
Maybe at first. But
maybe
then if
at first.
Because
you forget
that would not
how
be
to do it.
Idea.
It's like, let's get some drinks over here.
But yeah, so you should come by and see us, because that's going to be a damn fine time indeed.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Lincoln Laboratory have made X-ray vision.
What?
A team has created a radar system that allows humans to see through walls. 99% of radar waves bounce off of concrete walls. Out of the 1% that aren't blocked, another 99% just don't make it back through. But the MIT research team led by John Peabody and Gregory Charvet used S-band radar waves, which are similar in wavelength to a Wi-Fi signal, meaning they're fairly short. And the link, that means that the signal has more signal lost. The team developed an amplifier, which means that, yeah, up to 60 feet away, they can look through a concrete wall. Ladies?
So do I have to wear my lead underwear now?
I don't think anyone's going to be looking at you, Bruce.
I'm already wearing mine.
Damn right. So what's the practical applications of this? War, I suppose.
It's always
probably.
All about war.
Espionage.
But I'm sure Girls Gone Wild is going to find some way to use it.
Okay. Well, if you're in the Baltimore, Maryland area, you can see something really cool on display at the Walters Art Museum. And after more than a decade of restoration and study, the public is finally getting a glimpse of the oldest surviving copy of work by Greek mathematical genius Archimedes. It's over 1,000 years old. It is really cool. They've got a picture of it. There's lots of old stuff in museums, don't get me wrong, but if you're kind of a fan, it's really cool to look at, and you'll actually get a chance to see it. And it's the first time it's ever been on display. It was sold at auction for $2
million
in 1998.
$2 million.
That was a lot of money in 1998.
It certainly was.
It's kind of a lot of money
back
now.
When millionaire meant something.
Wow.
Thank you, Daddy Warbucks.
I know, right? Billionaire. That was Bruce Wayne. Anyway, it's
Vicky Vale in a news report says that millionaire Bruce Wayne, he comes walking by here and is like, billionaire Vicky, millionaires are so last year.
Awesome. It contains some of Archimedes' most famous theories, and it's just so I know I put this story up because I know a lot of people are in kind of the DC, Marylandish area. It doesn't say how long it's going to be on display, so hurry and go right now.
Yeah, you got to get there now, quickly.
Right
now. Don't wait till later.
Yeah.
You must do it immediately, as soon as you possibly
can. Camp out.
No. Yeah.
All right. Getting ready for teen sex and superpowers.
Hells yeah. What?
Yes, the highly praised British TV series The Misfits is coming to the U.S.
Oh, wow. They got a spinoff from Jim and the Holograms? That's awesome.
No. No. Not The Misfits of Science, either.
Damn.
Because that was a good show. I liked that one.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was. I liked it. Well, okay. I was a kid when I watched it.
You had a big thing for Courtney Cox. Shut up.
Gossip Girls and Chuck co-creator Josh Schwartz is readying an Americanized version of The Misfits. Vulture broke the news a couple of days ago that after Chuck's series ends, Schwartz is going to do an adaptation of this show. Basically, it's a story of a group of teens that get superpowers after an electrical storm and all wind up in the same community service group. And before they know it, they freak out and, you know,
start having sex.
Well, yeah.
Let's have sex.
But, you know, you shouldn't freak out because Schwartz is teaming up with the original creator, Howard Overman, to write the U.S. version of it.
Okay.
So he's going to be still be involved. That's going to be a good thing. They're writing the pilot now, which means they're going to write the pilot completely and then shop it around. So Fox, when they pick it up, doesn't change everything.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Nice.
So
keep, that means Fox won't pick it up then.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's all the kind of fun things you can learn about. You know what? If you stop by and check out Facebook, you know that EA's bringing back NFL Blitz. You know that the Sony two people watching a TV and seeing two different pictures comes out November 13th. And Gojira's getting a Criterion release. All of that and more you can find out by coming and visit us at geekradiodaily.com.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Yes, we do. One small little piece of mail.
Okay.
And I'm going to
blame... It's not the size that matters.
I'm going to blame the lack of mail on the fact that, you know, our show, even though we released it last Wednesday, most people didn't get to like Friday or Saturday
because
the virus also blocked it from the feeds.
Oh,
you had to come to the webpage and download it. It was blocking going out over the feeds.
Damn.
So that's why we're going to blame the... Okay, anyway. Hornaday is releasing bullets meant for use on zombies. They'll be releasing them in December. Brilliant. Sadly, this means another 1,500 rounds I have to buy come December. This is from Ryan. Ryan sent us this note. It's crazy. Yes, these bullets are specifically designed as being marketed as zombie ammunition.
Okay.
Ammunition to take care of zombies.
Did they test this on anybody?
Well,
what is it about them?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you'd find an actual zombie to be able to test it, but
drunk frat boy.
Oh, that would be awesome. They're the proven Z-Max bullets. What they are is they make them for 9mm, pretty much everything that you could possibly want to get. But they have a very – they're shaped a special way. They're still bullets. But they've got where the stupid thing is it? I can't find it on their stupid website now. But it's got a special tip that's supposed to help for that that brain shot to really open up that cavity and really take it out.
I was thinking hollow point. I mean, you know, that's already zombie bullets.
But, you know, but no one's actually done it yet, though. You know, he's the first guy that goes, here's your official zombie ammunition.
For all of those that actually, all those of us who already have a plan, I guess we'll need to get some of that.
Exactly. So thank you for that, Ryan. You know, Ryan's got his own website and stuff that we post stuff from all the time because that's the fun thing about our show. We look for stuff that you may not have heard of.
And
Ryan's been finding some of it. Ryan's been finding quite a bit of it because that's a good find.
We share it with others.
I believe he even has a podcast.
Does he now?
I believe so. I'm almost positive. So you need to make a promo so we can play it here, sir. That's just how that goes. So that's about all the mail that we have. And so far, the phone still hasn't rang, so we're going to keep on going. But if you'd like to drop a note, you can. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, result at geekradiodaily.com. Or you could send a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HACK.
To where?
206-3-FUN-HACK.
Not 555-2368?
That's the Ghostbusters.
Oh.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
I see.
You don't look good.
I don't?
Well, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my bat. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
All right, it's GRD Fit Club. It's all the geek without the weight. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. With breast cancer, early detection is the key. There is over a 90% survival rate if you detect this early enough. Doctors attribute breast cancer to a number of different factors such as genetics, hormone replacement therapy, race, ethnicity. Now, this information is not just for the women. Okay, there are approximately 1,700 men that get diagnosed with breast cancer every year. Okay, so gentlemen and ladies, predominantly women. But yes, breast cancer is something you do have to be aware of. Women, there's a lot of talk going around about when you should check out, when you should start. Women, you should do clinical and self-exams starting at the age of 20. Okay. After that, at the age of 40, that's when you start doing mammograms. Okay. These are both very non-invasive tests. And if they do happen to find something, the first choice is not surgery. They always do more unobtrusive, non-invasive tests.
You know, squishing a boob might not be invasive,
yes.
But it's still weird.
Oh, it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But neither is surgery.
True.
You know, if they can get it, you know, early stage one, stage two, they can get it with radiation, which, again, not the worst thing, not the best thing in the world, but nope. It's better than the radical mastectomy that they used to do, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, breast cancer awareness, you need to be aware of it. Save the tatas. And,
remember your TLC. Touch, mm-hmm. Look, and check. It's very important.
There's a video for that nowadays.
With consent.
By the way,
ladies,
if you'd like to have some kind of helpful reminder, well, of course, there's an app for
that. There's an app for that.
And may I suggest the Your Man Reminder? Because not only could you get reminded to make sure you've given yourself a proper breast exam, but you can have this done being presented by a hot guy of your choice that you pick from the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Who can
nice service.
Shirtless. They have a promo for this, like a 2.5-minute commercial for this.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
It's hysterical.
My God, it's hysterical. The doctor's like, and since, you know, you're only going to pay attention to really good-looking people, allow me to show the shirtless guy. Or
5 or 6 shirtless guys.
It's crazy funny.
And he's doing the breast exam, too,
yes,
on himself.
On himself.
Yeah.
As you should. You're damn right. And my one other thing for this is, I went to Food Lion this weekend.
Okay.
Went to buy some groceries, and the woman behind the counter, I look at her, and I'm like, oh, nice. Boobies. And she went, what?
What?
She was wearing a nice boobies bracelet.
Uh-huh.
She was wearing a boobies bracelet.
Yeah.
I don't know what it said on the other side, but all you could see was the pink and boobies
uh-huh.
on her wrist. So I put that nice little pause. Nice. Boobies. Which, you know.
It doesn't get you pushed
got
as
you
fast
slapped.
As.
No, no,
nice
it doesn't.
Boobies.
Because if I'd said nice boobies, it's all about where you put
the
comma.
Timing.
Let's eat, Grandma. Let's eat, Grandma. It's all
yeah,
about where
timing.
You put the thing. So yes, please take care of that because I'm a big fan of breasts and I think that we should all make sure that they survive. That's how that works.
Yeah. Start a club.
The boob club.
The booby club.
Outstanding. We're going to make that happen. So we're going to take a very quick break. We're going to see what our show is going to be about. And once we figure it out, we'll be right back to tell you about it right here on GRD's Weekly.
Hi, everyone. This is Morgan.
And this is Chris.
And here at the Twisted Geeks, we do what geeks do best. And what's that, Chris?
We just sit here, do a podcast every week, giving you our opinions on geek entertainment and culture, while we do nothing else about it.
Sounds like fun to me. And you can find out more about us at TwistedGeeks.com.
Because nobody else can tell you our opinion on what's going on in the geek culture out there right now.
You said it.
So, as Morgan told you, go to www.twistedgeeks.com to get the right opinion on everything that we feel is important.
Hi, this is James Hong. Listen to Geek Radio Daily today.
We're the Ghostbusters.
I'm Spencer. He's Tracy.
I'm Kong.
We're the Ghostbusters. We're clever, courageous, and strong. Your sleep has been haunted with whispers and rattlings. Your blood has been curdled. We know what to do. Your skin has the creepies. I wonder what's happening. You're safe in our hands. We will take care of you. We're the Ghostbusters. Spirits and demons, beware. The Ghostbusters. Wherever you're hiding, I'm there. We know what you're up to. We're ready for anything. We're bold and we're fearless and never afraid. We're always prepared. We're right there with everything. With us on the job, trouble soon fade. The Ghostbusters do it again.
You're walking down the street,
yeah,
and you see a little ghost.
What
you gonna do about Ghostbusters?
What? What is that?
That's the Ghostbusters theme song.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Seeding the movie.
Good times. So welcome back. It's GRD's Weekly, episode 136. And by God, I think we have a topic.
I think we do. We don't have an interview.
Should we say who we were going to interview?
Yes, or? Bust
okay.
them out.
Come on okay, in. Here's how this works. So most places, of course, do, but I actually heard a ghost hunting, whatever you want to call them, group out of Richmond. They've got a radio show once every other week on this station that I work at, oddly enough. They are the Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. They're not the Richmond Paranormal Investigators because that doesn't spell RIP.
Right.
So sent them an email and they were like, sure, we're going to do the show. That'd be fantastic. We'd love that. And we were like, okay, going to set up a day. And I've not heard back from them. And I do wonder if they visited the site, saw the virus warnings and thought, oh my God, they're flaky. So I hope not. So if you happen to know any of the Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal, tell them it's not too late. Because we can still pimp them out. We can still talk about what they do and still talk about that crazy, fun, fantastic fundraising event that they're doing on the 29th. I tell you more about it, but yeah. They're not here to give me the details
exactly.
that I don't have. So
maybe they thought we were going to be skeptical about ghosts.
I'm not skeptical. I totally believe in supernatural elements or whatever. Totally believe. Whether okay. they're ghosts or not, I couldn't tell you. That's why I was really looking forward to that conversation. Because once I heard a... some weird talk show talking about weird topics where they talked about ghosts and they had one of these ghost hunter guy things on.
Yeah.
And he said that he got rid of a ghost in a house, but the ghost, you're going to love this, was someone who was actually still alive. Because this guy believes that ghosts aren't necessarily the apparitions of the newly departed or whatever, but if you have a big, huge, traumatic event, the psychic energy there
uh-huh.
could create what we call ghosts. And I find stuff like that fascinating because... Yeah. Could be.
Could.
You know, could be.
Sure.
Because really, we're all fascinated by ghosts. Because
yeah,
people
to an
like,
extent, yes.
I don't believe in ghosts, but then the lights are out.
And everybody pees themselves.
You're walking, you know, something, ooh, wait a minute, ooh.
You see something out of the corner of your eye. I mean, it could be the silence.
Could be the silence.
Could be.
It probably
check
is.
Your arm for telemarks.
So far, so good.
You want to check that one?
No, no, I've already. You're not even going to fool me, Bruce. Not even going to fool me.
He's
Bruce.
On cold medicine.
Yes.
Hello, America. Do you want to play a game?
If it's looking at my arms, no, that's not really a fun game, Bruce. Not a fun game at all.
It's a fun game for me.
So, not here. Ooh, baby, look at that. So, I figured ghosts, why not? We were going to talk about them anyway. Let's talk about ghosts.
Let's talk about ghosts,
ghosts baby.
Baby.
Let's talk
about things spooky, huh?
Hey!
Okay, rattling chains and the sheets. Okay,
I gotta work on that one.
All right, fine. So basically, then going to my standby, I just was ready to talk about ghost movies because if we start talking about ghost stories,
yes.
Good God, we need six
yeah.
episodes.
Who's
to do
got
that.
My golden arm?
Very nice. Good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, ghost stories pretty much are things that you talk about around a campfire with very poor lighting
or sleepovers,
or sleepovers where you try to scare somebody hard enough they pee themselves.
Oh, you were scared? No, it wasn't. Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah. You smell pee. You peed yourself.
Yeah,
we're talking about doing. Sorry, somebody at Roller Derby had an idea for a promotional, like a teaser trailer for
yeah.
our league,
uh-huh.
and there's a little kid looking in the mirror, and they go, "Punishers." Punishers, and then the lights come on, and you can sort of like see us behind, like glaring at the little kid, like we're
wow.
Scared.
Somebody watched the Paranormal Activity 3 trailer.
Uh huh.
Oh, is that the Paranormal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were going to do a spoof of the Paranormal 3 trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I didn't know.
Man,
oh,
see, I stopped the tune.
That's a good.
The
yeah, good man. Was it five for him or still
three.
The three?
Three?
Still the three?
Okay. Yeah.
One of them was five, and I was like, God, who's going to do that
yeah,
much?
Yeah, it just gets monotonous at that point.
So, yeah, we're fascinated by ghosts. Ghosts have been in literature how long? As long as there's been literature, there's pretty much been ghosts.
Yes, and they've come from stories before then as well. You always have the stories where it's the person that was wronged or was murdered or was something
stopping
something
them from crossing over.
Exactly. Something
you
wasn't
picked
completed.
Up, you
yeah.
picked up who on your way home? No. She died 20 years ago. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun.
Before yeah. Jesus was a zombie, he was a ghost. Let's not forget that, too.
Okay.
He was a ghost as well. So we have a long-standing tradition of it. Hollywood has taken various approaches to ghosts. Sometimes they're scary.
Sometimes
they're comical.
Sometimes they're Casper.
Sometimes they're Casper. Okay. But my thought was, if I'm talking about ghosts, I'm talking about ghosts in movies, I've got to start with 1937's Topper, which is about a gentleman who happens to see two ghosts, Cary Grant and some girl that I can't even think of anymore.
Yeah.
And he sees their ghosts, and he tries to help them, which will become a motif, tries to help them
mm-hmm.
to be able to pass off.
Yeah. And that's generally how it. If the ghosts are good, you generally try to help them to cross over. If the ghosts are bad, you're trying to run like hell
to get her. Yeah, this house is cleansed. Topper was incredibly popular. They did a whole series of these movies and a TV show. Cary Grant did not come back for any of them, but Roland Young was still Topper. In fact, Rochester showed up in some of the later sequels as his driver. And even
Rochester.
Jack Benny's butler.
Yeah.
He even mentions Jack Benny in one of the movies. He looks to the camera. Nothing like this ever happened with Mr. Benny. You know, it's...
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Rochester folks, feet do your duty. Yeah, okay. We love you, Rochester. We do love you. 1944, The Uninvited was actually a creepy ghost story. Few people have seen this because I'm one of those weird guys. Brother and sister find this deserted house while chasing their dog, or whatever. Anyway, they buy the place, they move in, and ghostly stuff starts happening. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Disturbances increase, and they learn about a tragedy that happened in the house 20 years earlier, because that's your other trope, is something bad happened here.
In the house, or somewhere. The location. It's central to the location.
Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
You didn't move the bodies? You moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies? Crazy. But yeah, for the most part, they were more interested in monsters, because ghosts... I don't know. Maybe because they didn't have the special effects for it?
Yeah. I mean, all they had were the sheets and the and the lights. the sheets, the lights, and sometimes that reflection off the glass.
Very quickly throwing them together, let's go ahead and mention 13 Ghosts and House on Haunted Hill. Because both of them were originals. Brought to us by William... Yes, the originals. God, no, I'm not talking about the remakes. Why would I? Awful. William Castle and his fantastic, just trickery and audience participation stuff. 13 Ghosts had the fun little thing where you were given a visor, and the visor lets you look through one part. If you wanted to see the ghosts, you could look through this part, and if you didn't want to see them, you look through that. That way you wouldn't get scared.
Oh,
wow.
The DVD, I've got the DVD of that, and it still comes with one of those cards. It's a red and blue. It's 3D glasses, and one half you see the ghost and one half you don't.
Okay.
That's basically that is. But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
House on Haunted Hill, actually had the flying skeletons that would come out over the audience. Boo! Because that's just how you're doing. The Uninvited, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention The Uninvited 1944. It was the first haunted house story movie that I could find. I couldn't find one any earlier than that. That's another reason I mentioned that one, because it's really good. 1962's Carnival of Souls. This is well loved by people, and they tell me how atmospheric and creepy and eerie. This movie's always bored me to tears, except of course when I bought the version that had the commentary by Mike Nelson.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't watch something that was.
That was entertaining. Carnival of Souls is like an hour and a half version of that. I was gonna say Twilight Zone episode, but no, there was actually One Step Beyond, one of the shows I mentioned before, which was a Twilight Zone ripoff. Where every time this guy looked in a mirror, he saw a ghost. And like when he's driving in the rearview mirror, it was in the backseat. Oh, creepy. Carnival of Souls, this woman starts seeing apparitions and stuff.
Yes.
There's a twist ending that by now you'll totally see coming now. But back then, I'm sure it was shocking. And maybe that added to the experience then. Yeah. But
we're jaded nowadays. We've seen this story before. So it's not, okay.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me. 1963's The Haunting. That's 1963's The Haunting, not the Jean de Bont. Owen Wilson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, horrible, horrible movie. Liam Neeson was in that one, too, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. The Haunting, it's weird. Robert Wise directed this. Robert Wise, who directed Star Trek, the motion picture, The Day the Earth Stood Still, classic stuff. He directed this. And it's a smart ghost movie because you're never, ever sure if it's a psychological thing going on, or if it is
psychonatural,
as opposed to the sequel, the remake, which gave the house eyes and it moved and shifted. Horrible, horrible movie. You want to get creeped out? Go watch 1963's The Haunting. That's some pretty good stuff. The 70s had a bunch of ghost movies, but none of them did anything for me at all. Don't Look Now is one people say you should see, but I didn't really much care for it. I think that's the Julie Christie Donald Sutherland movie. They say it's creepy. Didn't do much for me. 1980's The Fog, though. The original.
The original Fog.
Not the remake with Tom Welling. Remember Tom Welling was in the remake?
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking of it, but yes.
There's this small coastal town of Antonio Bay, which really sounds like he should be a soap star.
Yeah, exactly. Antonio Bay.
Hello. How are you doing? Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Adrienne Barbeau is in this movie.
Even better.
What's her face? Janet Leigh is in the movie, so Jamie Lee Curtis got to be in there with mom. John Carpenter directs this, and it's basically pirate ghosts.
Pirate ghosts?
If you will. It's
we're ghost pirates?
Arg, matey. Yes, indeed, me hearties. It certainly is. Spectral sea dogs coming to get you, raw.
So, in other words, when they do the reboot, it'll be ninja ghosts?
I think they kept him as pirate ghost with Tom Welling.
So, okay.
I don't know. It's a fun little movie. It's not the best of John Carpenter's stuff. It's different than, you know, this was, you know, a success of Halloween. Pretty much anything John Carpenter did, everyone's like, oh, what's this? What's this?
Oh, yeah.
And he tells a pirate ghost story, which was weird for the time, but it's got some creepy little moments to it. It's fine. It's much better than the remake. Because as I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the remake sucked.
I think you did mention that.
1980's The Changeling with George C. Scott. This is a creepy-ass movie that, this is one of those things, back in the day, kids, before, you know, back when network TV signed off at night and played the national anthem and went to static.
Exactly.
Every year around Halloween, everybody would start pulling out all these movies. They'd show a very edited for TV version of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
A decently edited for TV version of The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
And they would start pulling out all this other stuff, like The Changeling is something that would show up like on your UHF station.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And George C. Scott loses his wife and kid in an automobile accident, and he rents a secluded mansion in Seattle, but discovers he's not alone in the house. Okay? So, generic like every other one, but that's a creepy one. There's some creepy shit
that's done well.
It's done quite well.
Yeah.
And it's got George C. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
For the love of God. The Entity, I believe, was also 1980. And this one's just freaking weird, man. The Entity is about a poltergeist, a ghost, that is in this woman's house. And this is going to sound bad, but it's really creepy, and it's worth seeing. Sexually assaults her.
A ghost sexually assaults.
A ghost.
Okay.
A paranormal something or another does. And, you know, she brings people in.
That's where Anna Nicole Smith got that from.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, it's just weird. The stuff that special effects can do that just kind of blows my mind. One of the things that this did, and I don't know why this blew my mind at the time. But the woman, she's laying there in bed, right? She's asleep.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the blanket comes down kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this ghost, like, starts to feel her up at some point. And for 1980, to see a woman's breast get cupped with no hand there blew my mind as a kid. I couldn't figure out how they did that.
Well, it was a breast at first.
I couldn't figure out how they did that. It's kind of like how in Cat People, when she turns into the cat and her boobs go away and becomes... Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did they do that? It's weird. Yeah, special effects and boobs. I know, it's weird.
Yeah.
But The Entity is a weird, creepy movie, which is allegedly based on a true story, which makes it all the more creepy when you stop and think about that. Go ahead, stop and think about it.
Okay, hang on.
Was it creepy?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Creeped you out?
Yeah, kind of creepy.
Nice. So that's good. 1980 also brought us The Shining. Wow, 1980 and ghosts.
Yes.
Now, here's where I'm going to go out on a limb,
and I'm
going to get a bunch of hate mail for this.
Okay.
I don't particularly care for Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
You're not the only one.
I think it's...
Scared the jeebies out of me. Oh.
I think it is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe it's nearly as effective as people try to tell me.
Yeah.
And I still to this day believe that the TV miniseries with Steven Weber is better than the Jack Nicholson Kubrick version.
Wow.
And here's why.
Okay.
For one reason, if nothing else. Steven Weber shows up. He's a guy going through a bunch of crap and slowly goes insane while he's at this hotel.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson comes on screen. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. He's crazy the moment you see him in The Shining.
Really?
He's crazy the whole damn time. He's not psychotically crazy, but he doesn't have this destruction of soul, if you will.
Okay. You don't get the calm and well-adjusted Jack Nicholson.
You really don't. You don't get the guy who's struggling to maintain his sanity.
Do you ever get the calm and well-adjusted Jack Nicholson?
Kind of my point. Kind of my point there.
Yeah.
Also, the Stanley Kubrick movie, of course, couldn't at the time, but does not have the hedge animals, which is one of the creepiest things from the book. Because of Jack Torrance, one day there's all these hedge animals. They're shaped like animals.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bunch of them. So all the ones he can't see when he looks at them again, they've moved slightly. And they're getting closer and closer as he tries to get back into the hotel.
Okay.
That's a creepy thing. And it was ruined in the TV version when they didn't do just that, and you actually saw the CGI of them move.
Mm-hmm.
If they just kept it, they're getting closer every time, would have been much creepier. My big problem with The Shining, I love Stanley Kubrick. You know that I'm a huge fan. But The Shining is a ghost story, and Kubrick he was agnostic. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in ghosts, nothing. Mm-hmm. So you've got a very spiritual story being brought to you
by somebody who doesn't have a spiritual
side. And
it
rings false to me. It just does not ring true. It never, ever has. Yes, there's creepy moments in The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
Yeah, Shelley Duvall.
I'm telling you, it scared the hell out of me. Scared the hell out of me.
And Popeye is one.
Yeah. I
scared the hell out of Popeye, too. So.
Yeah.
Well, so since ghosts were such back in and in big demand, 1981 brought us Ghost Story.
That's not Love Story. It's Ghost Story. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, because Love Story is...
was different. Completely different.
Yeah, it's awful, too. Ghost Story is an anthology. It gives us a couple different stories. Like John Houseman, Douglas Fairbanks. There's a ton of really cool people in this movie, and it's another one of these movies that I wanted to like more than I did. I don't find it as effective as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one really good ghost story in that one. One pretty good one that's in that one. 1982 brought us the greatest haunted house film of all time, Poltergeist.
Excellent story.
The great Tobey Hooper.
That creeped me out when I was a kid.
Hell yeah, it did.
Could not watch it. It was just... Okay, yeah.
There are many people... I know there are people who have fear of clowns, and I get that, and it's been around a long time. But there's tons of folks who have a fear of clowns as well as puppets, thanks to this movie. And if you show them a clown puppet, mm-hmm. they are going to brown their trow. It's
yep.
just that simple.
Yes, they are.
Family, strange things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Gets worse. They bring in more white people.
They bring in short white people.
They bring in short white people.
I haven't seen the entire movie, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah.
We've been together all this time, and you have not seen Poltergeist?
I have.
I get scared pretty easily.
And here's what people forget.
Slide.
Poltergeist is PG.
Yes.
There was no PG-13 back then.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been PG-13 by today's standards.
Yeah.
And again, maybe. But that's a very creepy movie.
You know.
And at first, it's all playful and kind of, oh, what's all this weird stuff going on in the house? And then it just pulls oh, my God.
It just went, hey, let's not make this a kid's film anymore. Let's go, all right, screw it. And here comes the bus.
And Tobey Hooper does not get credit enough because Spielberg produced this, but a bunch of people say that Spielberg really basically directed it and Hooper was just there. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair. Because if you're going to do that, then yes, Spielberg should be sued. Because Poltergeist bears a striking resemblance to an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
In which a little girl who was in her room, in her mm-hmm. bed,
yeah.
is missing.
Hmm.
And they come in there and they're looking around and they hear her. And like her voice is coming from the walls. Somehow she's managed to find her way inside the house with supernatural beings.
Sweet.
Doesn't that sound very weird?
Similar.
It's
yeah.
quite. You need to see it. It's quite. I'm sorry. The entity was 1983. I've got it in two places. I don't know why I have it in two places.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they redo it? No, not that close together.
Okay. 1986 brings my second favorite haunted house movie of all time. House. William Catt, Richard Mall, George Witt, all-star in House.
I've seen that one with you before.
Yes,
right?
You have, because I own the DVD, which was the special edition DVD that came with the second movie, which isn't that good, but what are you going to do? William Catt, his son is missing.
Okay.
And he moves in is it his mom or his grandmother? I forget which. It might have been his grandmother. Kills herself.
Hmm.
He moves back into the house. He's a writer.
Okay.
And strange things start happening. And George Wendt is his next door neighbor.
Hey, Norm!
It's creepy and incredibly funny. It's got one of the... God.
It's hard to do that. But when it's
really
done
is.
Right, it really...
Lots of horror comedies fall down. But House... House is incredibly funny, very creepy, very creepy. And the low-budget aspect of it works to its favor because the way they made some of these creatures, they're all practical effects. You know, they're all practical in-camera stuff.
Yeah.
And some of them are just really disturbing to look at. You know how some of those practical effects of things, you know that little weird smiling face kind of thing on a creature?
Yeah.
House has a really creepy one. Really creepy one. There's tons of jokes. You really got to see it. You can skip House 2, the second story. The second story is the other. Not that good. I jump ahead 10 years after that. So if anyone else could think of a ghost...
Nope. I got none.
I skip to The Frighteners. Peter Jackson's The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox. He's a ghost hunter.
Yes.
Yeah, the walls.
Yeah.
And stuff.
But he is a con man ghost hunter. He's got some ghosts. He can see them. He talks to them. They go in. They haunt a house. He comes in, chases the ghosts
saves
away.
The day.
Gets paid.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Until the one day where he actually runs into a ghost that might have been the one that killed his wife.
Whoops.
Ooh. You know, the one who looks suspiciously like a Nazgul. The one who suspiciously looks like a Ringwraith. The one who suspiciously looks like a Dementor.
Broke, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And Peter Jackson has one of his cameos in there back when he was big old Peter Jackson.
Oh, okay. Big, big.
Yes. John Astin is one of the ghosts, which is kind of cool. Arlie Ermey is a ghost.
Uh-huh.
Which, and he's doing his Full Metal Jacket ghost thing, which is really awesome. I then cut ahead to 1998, because 1998, Japan brought us some of the greatest ghost stuff ever.
Oh, I think Japan was haunted.
Yeah, Japan was haunted.
Okay.
Japan brought us Ringu, which eventually gave us The Ring in 2002, which is creepy, is incredibly, incredibly creepy. You know, there's this videotape going around. If you watch it, you die in 7 days. A phone rings right after you watch it and says, 7 days. And 7 days later, you die. What happens? Well, that's what you got to watch the movie for. A lot of times I tell you that remakes are not better than the originals, because most of the time they're not. But I got to say, I'm probably going to give the edge to The Ring over Ringu. Probably, if nothing else, because of the localization. Part of it is lost being Japanese. There's stuff that we just...
The culture is not
the
same.
The culture is not quite the same, so it resonates better. Obviously, we have a little bit better special effects.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's the same movie. It really is pretty much the same movie. I own both of them. It's quite cool.
This was a turning point for me with ghost movies, because this is one of the first movies I was able to watch all the way through and try to just focus on, like, solving the puzzle. I didn't mean to make it sound like Jeopardy, but you know, excuse me, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Wait, Wheel of Fortune. You know what I mean? Anyway,
I'd like to buy a clue, Alex.
Even though, you know, it was really, really creepy, and it still sort of messed with me for like a long time afterwards, I was able to identify with the character and just sort of try to figure out like what was going on and not focus as much. But I mean, these are the kinds of things that I find particularly scary. These things that like could happen to you. You know, I mean, it's a you know, machete wielding psychopath in the woods is one thing, and you can just kind of off screen teleportation, ha ha ha. But I mean, like, the supernatural and the paranormal and the ghosts and the, I mean, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that just, I'm not going to think about it too much or I won't be able to go to sleep.
If you still have the Ring DVD and you've never found this, then first off, you're crazy. But the actual tape that you watch is a hidden feature on the DVD. So I had a buddy over and we watched The Ring.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was like, you know, we're looking around, I'm like, oh, what's this? We accidentally found the tape.
Uh-huh.
So you watch the tape, and when you do, it's just the tape with all the weird imagery that's on it, and it cuts back to the main menu. And when it does, it plays a phone ringing sound out of your back speakers.
Messed up.
Next
right?
to where I had a phone, which made my buddy jump like nothing. Good times.
And the shorts are gone.
1998 in Japan also brought us Ju-on, which we know as The Grudge. Ju-on The Grudge is how this is now. This is the one that's set in Japan. It's a Japanese haunted house story.
Yes.
And it's really freaking creepy. It really, really is. The Japanese version and the American version, to a point, they do tell a couple of stories all relating to this house and this family and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, they've had 3 or 4 of these movies. And in all fairness, the Ringu had a couple of sequels as well. Ringu had 2 different sequels by 2 different people come out the same day. That would never happen in America.
Oh, God, no.
Would never happen in America. And there was a prequel that wasn't
only
any good
on American
either.
TV. Rip off the Fables.
Nice. I should also point out that The Ring 2, which is not directed by, I've already forgotten his name. Damn it. The guy also directed Pirates of the Caribbean. Anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't direct The Ring 2, and The Ring 2 was about as good as Poltergeist 2. Enough said. Enough said. Ju-on The Grudge, fantastic. Sarah Michelle Gellar, amazing in the American version. The American version was tremendous, although she got a little pissed off when I showed it to her because she didn't like the ending. 1999, I should also point out that The Grudge didn't come out until like 2003, so I'm jumping around because those are the same
movie. Jumping thing here.
1999, one of my favorite movies just ever. I'm sorry. Screw you. I love The Blair Witch Project.
Because that was so, absolutely so different. It was done in the whole...
the found footage style.
Yeah.
How about that?
Which nobody had really done before, at least not on a
not
huge
like
scale
that.
Idea. You know, they basically, hey, here's your film can, here's what you're going to be doing. All right, let's turn the cameras on.
I should point out that the final broadcast, I want to say it's called, was this low-budget independent film made right before the Blair Witch Project about a bunch of guys out in the woods. And part of what you, part of, not the whole movie, but part of what you see is the stuff they filmed that night.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's got some nice things to it. But no, no, no. You can say that they ripped you off all you want. No. They did it better than you, and that's not ripping you off. The Blair Witch Project is amazing. I love it. At first, when I saw the trailer, like everyone else, I thought it was real. I watched it online, so I saw the trailer for anybody else. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I got digging into it hardcore. It didn't take me long to find out that it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But still.
But if you weren't actually investigating it, you'd have thought just like
do you know how many
else-
websites I had to go through to figure this crap out? That it was, I mean, they talk about the viral marketing that you see now for movies. Mm-hmm. Blair Witch Project invented all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had the Sci-Fi Channel special. Mm-hmm. Talking about the murders
of the in the Blair Witch, yeah.
And it was in Maryland, and I was living in Maryland. It was crazier. People were all over the place, like in the woods doing stuff. I mean, it was
everyone
just
kept stealing the Burkittsville signs.
Nuts. Craziness.
I completely bought into that. I love it. I bought the book, the private investigator that Heather's mom hired, wrote a dossier. Of course, none of this is real, folks, so just go with me on this. He wrote the dossier, and I bought that to hear the story from his people. There was a comic book. Apparently, there was this crazy guy who used to pass out these crudely drawn comic books to people talking about the Wood Witch, which is the Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the comic book of that, which is awesome. I've pretty much anything that was Blair Witch, I absolutely have because I did love it.
I would not go watch it in the theaters. I eventually watched it in the afternoon during with the daylight. You know,
you couldn't watch it at night.
At home.
DC 101.
Still freaked me out.
DC 101. Had a little competition that I desperately tried to win. I'd already seen it because I went to the midnight showing of the 2 week early test screenings that they did in limited cities.
Yeah,
but DC 101 had this contest where if you won, you went outside on an inflatable screen and watched the Blair Witch Project in the woods in Burkittsville.
Oh
God, did I want to do that?
Oh, that sounds outstanding.
Terrible.
Now, see, 1999 was also sort of a resurgence of ghost stories because 1999 also brought us my third favorite haunted house movie of all time,
okay,
Stir of Echoes with Kevin Bacon.
That's a good movie.
That's a damn fine movie based on a book that's set in the 1950s. They modernized it, doesn't matter. Kevin Bacon, him and his wife, you know, they're just living a life. They're just regular people, blah, 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 blah. One night at a party, his wife's sister hypnotizes him, which opens a door in his mind, and now he starts seeing things. Creepy things. Very creepy things.
Okay.
Like a dead girl in his house, sitting. One of the greatest moments ever, and I'm sorry, here's a spoiler, I'm going to sort of ruin this for you. Kevin Bacon wakes up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes downstairs, he can't sleep, he's sitting on his couch, he leans forward and grabs the remote for the TV, and as he sits back on the couch, there she is just sitting right there staring at him.
Oh, crap.
And the entire theater, oh my God, oh dear God.
Yeah. I didn't see it in the theater either. I don't. The theater is much more, you know, immersive. So if you can't handle it, watch it at home because you can pause it. You can go in the kitchen. You could pretend like it's not really going on, and then you can come back for more.
Quick dovetail out of this for movie theaters: Exorcist 3, Exorcist 3, which is this very unloved Exorcist movie, but it's fantastic. Okay. Has this wonderful sequence in a hospital where a nurse walks to check in on a patient and walks away, and the entire theater that I was sitting at, it was so quiet. You could have heard a pin drop the whole time she's walking because it's building tension.
Yeah.
It's building tension.
Yeah.
And then when it happens,
uh-huh.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's brown trowel once again. Because audience, you know, everyone just gets caught up together, and that's pretty damn cool. 1999 also, of course, brought us the movie that, that most people know ghost stories for, and that's The Sixth Sense. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan's. What a good freaking movie. And if you don't know the secret, I'm not going to spoil it here because that's the greatest thing that they did was that movie was out in theaters a long time before anyone started spoiling
exactly.
The secret.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know.
No,
you didn't know.
You didn't know.
And then when you go back and watch it again, it sticks out. So it's so flipping obvious.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so obvious.
But even the people who always figure stuff out, you being one of them, didn't figure it out.
No, I didn't. I didn't figure it out until 30 seconds before they showed us. And I was like, wait, but, oh my God. And then it happened. I'm like, oh my God, I can't.
I'm glad you got to have that moment.
I don't get those enough. I really don't. Because I do kind of figure these things out. Now, I should say that The Sixth Sense did come out before Stir of Echoes. Because a bunch of people dismiss Stir of Echoes as, oh, it's a ghost movie. They're totally different films. Sixth Sense and Stir of Echoes, totally different movies. Both creepy, both a little funny in places, and both quite well deserving of ghost stories that you should totally watch. Totally watch. 2001 brought us The Others, because ghosts were now back in all the rage.
Oh, yeah. That one was creepy, too.
I remember that one.
You might
remember, has a really good twist as well.
You might remember this one because this is the one where Nicole Kidman and her two kids are in a house that's haunted. And she walks in, and there's
like
this
old-timey
creepy,
ghosts.
Creepy old woman sitting in the middle of a floor. And she goes, what have you done with my daughter? And this old woman looks up and goes,
what are you talking about?
I am your daughter.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I remember that one now.
One of the scariest, like, preview trailers of all time, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was real. Because I remember you going, oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
that trailer.
And we are done.
I should also point out that if you blink, you'll miss Christopher Eccleston. He's in this movie.
Okay.
He's Nicole Kidman's husband, who shows up for one scene that could be a dream sequence. Maybe not. Who knows? But it's a creepy movie. It does have a twist. It's a fantastic movie. Quite well deserving. Is it a haunted house story? I don't think it is until you realize.
Sort of.
It kind of is, but it's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. It's probably the best thing I think I've seen Nicole Kidman. Well, no. Dead Calm, that very first movie she did, The Boat, Billy Zane, and Sam Neill. That's a damn good movie, too.
Okay.
The Others and Dead Calm. Best Nicole Kidman work ever. 2001.
And To Die For was pretty good, too.
To Die For. Oh, good movie. 2001's The Devil's Backbone by Billy the Bull. Guillermo del Toro himself brought us this. Sure, this is weird stuff. The Spanish Civil War in an orphanage. There's a restless spirit. I don't know how to describe it. You really just have to watch it. It's a very creepy. It's much better than whatever that piece of crap was he just put his name on. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark or whatever with the trolls, the mutants that.
No, don't remember it.
The one where the girl's looking under her bed.
It's out now.
Oh.
And, you know, she's like pulling up the covers and then like this thing leaps out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually two different shots. That doesn't actually happen in the movie.
Of course.
Which I think is fun. Yeah. But this is a crazy, crazy weird. If you've seen any of his stuff, which just basically examines the dark nature of human behavior, you'll really like this. 2007 I jumped to for 1408.
This one is John Cusack, right?
John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Based off the Stephen King short story.
Very scary.
Quite well done, I have to say.
Really?
Yes. And it being a PG-13 movie, you only get one F-bomb, and John Cusack says, well, we had a scene where I had one, but no, Sam had the best one.
Of course, it's Sam.
Because it's about a haunted hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cusack is this writer who goes around, you know, just busting open all the supernatural crap everywhere. He stays in all these haunted places.
He's a skeptic. He doesn't believe in it, and it's not real, and he's going to show you.
So he wants to go to this room, and they don't want to let him in there. They're like, no. And he's like, you're going to. Turns out it's against the law not to let him rent the room. It's this crazy small little subplot. Mm-hmm. So he goes there, and Samuel L. Jackson the whole time is trying to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
And John Cusack keeps leaving himself. He's got his little voice recorder, leaving himself notes. And the blah, blah, blah is about the spooky ghost. He's like, whoa, no. He's like, I didn't say anything about ghosts. I didn't say a word about ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what are you saying? 1408 is an evil effing room.
Okay.
There's your F-bomb for that. It's an evil effing room. And yeah, it's creepy. I don't know which ending to tell you to watch because there's like six different endings depending on where you watch it, which DVD you own, if you own the Blu-ray, if you own the DVD, if you watch it on TV. There's so many different endings. I don't know if the ending in any of them really works that well, but the ride itself is worth the entire time.
Okay.
Ghosts, of course, are still going on because this year brought us what's probably going to become my fourth favorite haunted house movie of all time, Insidious. Insidious.
You did like that one a lot.
I loved the hell out of some Insidious. I want to say that's the people that brought you Saw.
Oh, really?
Brought you this. Brought you a low-key, restrained film that's creepy as hell. You get this family move into a new house. Strange things start happening. Oh, my God, one of our kids goes into a coma. Oh, my God, the woman actually sees a ghost in her bedroom. Freaks her the hell out.
Yeah.
Husband comes running in. She's like, we have to move. We can't stay here. The next scene is them moving.
Good.
Of course.
Smart white people?
Of course, the ghosts move with them.
Oh, crap.
So people wanted to deconstruct this and make fun of it because, yes, there is... I don't want to even spoil it. Some people tried. They got scared and they wanted to take away from it, so they kind of made fun of the main bad guy demon. And I won't say why because it's an unfair comparison, completely unfair. But this is another creepy-ass movie. very creepy, really creepy, and has all of your classic stuff. We bring some white people in to come hunt the ghosts. We come look at stuff.
Yeah.
We have seances. We have all the fun stuff we normally do, but just done very well. Is it cliched? Yes, but it's done very well.
Yeah, well, we always talk about cliches and things like that, and if it's done well, I don't care if it's done 100 times before. If it's done well, we still like it.
You're damn right. Next year, Daniel Radcliffe will fight ghosts without a magic wand.
Yes.
In The Woman in Black, which was just featured at a nice preview on the Scream Awards. That I'm surprised you didn't say that you
saw. Because I didn't watch.
Really?
I forgot it was on.
Oh.
Yeah.
George Lucas kind of outdid Darth Vader.
I saw some clips from it. I saw clips from it. It's like, yeah. And they actually got, you know, James Earl Jones to do the voice. And it was nice. Right. And he can't see it down here.
So high hopes for that because The Woman in Black does look creepy. It's a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Radcliffe is an adult.
Hey, amazing enough, he can just play an adult now.
And there's Ghost. And, you know, this is just, of course, I've left out a ton of movies. There's been a shit ton, a metric shit ton load of Ghost movies. Of course, ghosts have been on TV, Being Human. Jillian slept here.
I was going to say Ghost itself.
I specifically did not put that movie on here.
Or Ghostbusters.
Or Ghostbusters because...
It's not a ghost film. It is, but it's not.
It is not. It's not quite the same. I pretty much left off all the straight-up comedies.
Anything
like,
that has Ghost in the title.
Well, like Ghost Dad didn't get mentioned.
Oh, right. God, no, Ghost Dad didn't get mentioned.
I didn't mention The Heavenly Kid.
No.
I didn't mention School Spirit.
Heaven Can Wait.
Hey, School Spirit. A ghost gets to go into the girls' locker room. Yay!
Yeah.
You can't touch them, though, because you're not from the entity. Wait, I'm sorry. What is the other one you just said? You've already forgotten.
Oh, yeah. Ghost. Wow. My brain works.
Ghostbusters 2?
No. God damn it!
I broke you. That's awesome. I broke you.
Yeah, it happens.
Was it TV show Ghosts?
Probably not.
Because, you know, and of course, let's go ahead and throw out some love for Charles Dickens, because without A Christmas Carol,
yeah,
tons of ghosts in that. But again, it's not quite the same thing. But, you know, it is Halloween. It's that time of year. So I should also mention, of course, Paranormal Activity came out a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite well done, quite effective. The second one's out. The third one's getting ready to come out, which wraps up the trilogy, because this is a prequel that showed you how it all began.
Oh, is it going to wrap up now?
Well,
no, it's not.
Wrap up as much as anything does.
Yeah.
These people probably... Well, Michael Bay wrapped up Transformers, but they're already talking about a 4 and 5 without him or anybody else.
Oh, thank God.
With possibly not Jason Statham.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are good. The first one's good. I can't attest to any of the other ones because I haven't seen those. But yeah, ghosts. They're scary. They're spooky. They freak us out. What else do you have to say about
it? You know, I mean, ghost movies can be done well and be scary, and they can also have a little bit of comic relief. I mean, there's definitely the ones that you've mentioned, highly recommend, you know, if it's things that you're sort of trying to figure out. But if it's just, you know, spring-loaded cats and just scares just for scares' sake, it doesn't have the same value for me as far as, you know... That's the whole thing with the ghost movie. The really good ghost movies is trying to figure out, like, what was that tragic thing that happened, or, you know, what caused them to be ghosts in the first place, and all that sort of psychological
figuring
out.
Another reason I love The Ring.
Is really interesting to me, and that's what makes a good ghost story to me.
A good ghost story is just like any other good movie. It's a movie that makes you want to care, wants you to get wrapped up in the story and go, oh, that's why. Okay, I kind of care. This person, no, don't do that. It's a good movie that gets you involved, and especially if it's a scary story, because once it gets in your head, you're screwed.
You could say that. You could say that. So, yeah, I'm sure we missed tons of stuff or whatever, and sad that we didn't have the Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. Maybe next time. Maybe they were killed by ghosts.
They were caught.
That's just not good. I hope you guys are okay. I really do. You should give us a call. That'd be fantastic. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Drop us a note at podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flint, or solve at geekradiodaily.com. Or send us that voicemail to
206-3FUN-HACK.
To where?
206-3FUN-HACK.
One more time, because they love it.
206-3FUN-HACK.
The forums should be clean. Keep us up to date, and we will see you in a week.
Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them.
Hello, America. Do you want to play a game?
Halloween is revered as the day when the graves yawn and the dead rise.
Live or die. Make your choice.
there, Casper.
Hey.
Someone call UPS. There's a small package that needs to be delivered.
I thought you were supposed to be a friendly ghost.
Idiot! I'm his brother, Jasper.
The douchebag ghost.
Jasper, the douchebag ghost. The douchiest ghost possessed. He'll call you names and act real mean until you feel depressed. He'll always say...
You! Lick my sack, you fairy!
He's so damn crude and so damn rude, just with a douchebag ghost.
We will all miss Annie, but she truly is in a better place.
Oh, Grandma! I'm so glad you're alive!
Herman, you were always my least favorite grandchild.
Ha ha! Retards!
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go, Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Just with a douchebag ghost!